The following interview with Mary Kate Geherty, also known as Maykay, and Jamie Foxx, also known as Pockets, of Fight Like Apes, was recorded on Friday, June 19th, 2009, in Electric Avenue, Waterford.
So we're here at Electric Avenue with Mary and Jamie from Fight Like Apes. How's the tour going so far, guys?
It's great. I suppose we haven't really been doing much of a tour at the moment. We've had a pretty strangely easy couple of months. We've kind of been writing a lot, we've been rehearsing a lot, and kind of getting back to what we started doing, just like hating a lot of things and writing about hating a lot of things and writing like for ourselves and having fun kind of thing. And it's been a few gigs in and out of it, but we've been
it's kind of the start of the second kind of it's kind of when we started, we never really got a break, and then we got a little bit of a break over the last few months, but just the odd gig and stuff. So now we've finally got new songs, and we're going to start trying them out with, you know, in the shows around now. So it's, we've got a new lease of life, I hope, I suppose.
Yeah, and I suppose Waterford marks, I reckon, the start of the summer officially for us, because next weekend we've got Glastonbury, so every weekend from here
festivals.
And it's all festivals and really, really fun gigs. There's not like you, if you have a tour coming up, you kind of often have one that you pick out and go, oh, I could do without that one. But like, we've pretty much got just like solidly exciting 3 months ahead of us.
Brilliant. So you guys are really starting to get into the swing of things.
Yeah, definitely. And it's an amazing place to start. In Waterford, we've been so surprised by the reaction here, and because we haven't had a Dublin gig for a while, and we're not going to have one for a while. So many people have travelled down from Dublin, which is such a massive compliment, and it's really, really nice. Like young people whose parents have dropped them off and stuff, which is really sweet.
Brilliant. You said a minute ago that for the last while you've been in a haunted mansion of some kind.
I'm sure it was haunted.
Apparently there was.
Someone touched my bum.
The green room upstairs, as it was known, was apparently haunted. Three people were hung there. Yeah, it's pretty haunted, I think.
Were you recording there or just songwriting?
We recorded some demos, nothing at all to be released, just for ourselves kind of thing, just kind of writing away, seeing what came out, and you know, it was so nice, because the other way, if you're rehearsing in a studio, you've got like a set time, like 10 to 6 or 10 to 4 or something, and you have to be really conscious constantly of the time limit and how much you're paying and stuff. But it was so nice just be like really relaxed and not really give a shit and drink at your leisure and eat.
Yeah, and if somebody just want to make music, they can just stroll off, as opposed to if you're paying for a room for a certain amount of hours, that's not really cool.
Sure. And you have to be there, cool. Sticking with music, one of the things that I've heard about you guys is that you've put down the Pixies as an influence. Or is that a misattribution?
I don't know where it came from. I mean, we love the Pixies, but
I can understand where people get it from, but
I think there's probably secondhand Pixies influence, you know, nothing we intentionally did, but you know, we do like the Pixies a lot, and certainly with Tom's bass lines, I can definitely see the Pixies. Mm-hmm. But it's never something we've, you know, consciously done at all.
Okay.
But I think I can definitely see it in the music.
Mm-hmm. Rolling on from that, bands like the Pixies, have you anyone who you have your eye on for a collaboration or for working with in the future? If you could say, like, we'd like to have
Shane
you for vocals.
Shane McGowan. It's an odd one, but we've decided that we want to do a collaboration with Shane McGowan.
We've got the song done and dusted.
We just have to show it to him.
Yep. I think it'd be amazing, because it would just be perfect. Yeah. We need a bit of a gruff voice that's seen too much of life.
Yeah.
I think probably for you, I'm sure Steve Malcolmus has always been.
Yeah, but I think if we did work with somebody like that, we'd probably just be like too in awe of them to actually do anything ourselves, and it'd just end up being a Steve Malcolmus song. So
yeah, like I'd love to like do something with Devo, but I think I'd just end up losing entire faith in myself and the rest of us. I'd be like, we can never be like that. I think I'd love to do a bit more of that. Start working with people and stuff. I think we might be a bit too early to be doing any serious collaboration, because at the same time you don't want to give the impression that like you're running out of
ideas.
Stuff yourself, because we've got so much that we want to work on ourselves. I think maybe third album we'll definitely want to
start collaborating a lot more anyway.
Brilliant. Stuff that you said, that you mentioned that you're going to be playing tonight, any of that you have penned down for a future album?
Yeah,
hopefully,
I hope so.
Okay. We're trying not to think about it in terms of the album and just to write, you know, maybe 20 odd songs and see what are the best ones are. But I mean, at the moment, I can't see them not being on the next album.
Brilliant. Sticking with the songwriting, one thing I've noticed from your songs in the past is that at times the lyrics can be explicit, to say the least. Where does that come from? Is that you? Is it the band as a whole?
It's me and Jamie, really. I mean, it's like, I think that's been something when we started writing, if I'd ever considered the idea of my mother hearing it, or, you know, the local priest hearing it, or my old teachers hearing it, I'm sure I wouldn't have written, like Digifucker, I'm sure I wouldn't have said things like that. But I think that's the beauty of where we are now, and something that was really important for us when we were writing this week to remind ourselves of. We've never written for, like, anything but, like, for our own amusement. We're very selfish people. So I think that's where it came from. Digifucker is actually a pretty simple song. Yeah. The lyrics are very simple. Sure. It's nothing that every girl or guy doesn't think about when they've been hurt.
Right.
But it's something that no one would ever say out loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially not on a record, I suppose, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
It's kind of like we never thought that we were the type of band that was going to play many gigs, never mind get on the radio.
Mm.
So if we were doing that in the confines of our own rehearsal space, it didn't matter.
You give a shit, yeah.
So I suppose that allowed us to properly vent, I suppose, to hold back and cater for some sort of radio play or something like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Flipping back a sec to the collaborative stuff, what are your views on other people remixing your work, taking a bass line from here, mixing it with, you know, drums from another track? Are you open to it?
I think it's definitely open to it. I mean, I think it's like, I mean, recently, you know, Jape did a remix of Battle Stations for us, and that was perfect. He came to us, he said he loved the band, he loved the song, he wanted to do a remix, and it's like, of course, you know, and that's like, that's something that I think is a really nice way of doing it. But I mean, I've
had terrible ones.
Sure, but you kind of get that.
It's kind of, I suppose, when you open yourself up to,
that's Roger, he's lovely.
Being remixed by anybody and stuff like that, you're going to lose the control of what comes out of it. But I think that's okay. I think that's kind of nice. I mean, at the end of the day, we sample stuff, so what's the difference between somebody sampling our music and we complain about somebody asking for money for a sample? So we're not going to complain about somebody.
Yeah, plus, I mean, I was out in a club in Dublin last night, and I heard the Battle Stations remix, which first of all was weird, because, you know, when my voice is remixed, I can kind of tell it's me, but it sounds kind of weird. But then I saw people, like friends of mine who I know aren't that into the band, but they're really into dance music. Mm-hmm. And afterwards they were like, I really like that song that way, you know what I mean? So if someone else has a different take on something that we have, why the hell not? Like,
sure, yeah, but would you think of doing something like a kind of Too Many DJs style? I know Too Many DJs, for example, do a lot of indie remixes in a very dancey way. Would you think of releasing stuff like that yourselves, even as B-sides?
I think as a B-side, I think we've... if we liked it enough, we wouldn't release it just because of the remix and because it might appeal to a certain type of people. But if we loved it as a song itself and as a different version of a song, I wouldn't see a reason why not.
Cool. Okay.
Definitely not.
Taking it on from remixing then, sampling and not paying for sampling, what are your views on piracy in general? And where do you see the industry panning out on that?
With like music piracy and stuff like that?
I suppose, yeah. Not commercial piracy. I know it's pretty much accepted that if you're selling 10,000 copied CDs and the band are getting no cut on it, it's not on.
But
for fans downloading it themselves, like, I will honestly admit that, you know, I was coming here tonight to listen to you guys, and I had your first album, but not the second one. And so I said, grand, grab that, in order to listen up, to say, okay, to be familiar with the songs. Now, obviously, it's not ideal. And it would be much better if there was some form of method in place whereby I can download it, and if I like it, I can pay you without necessarily paying you fair compensation. So I give you a tenner that preferably goes into your pocket.
Yeah.
It's slightly unrealistic to say that all the money should go to a band and not a recording studio, and not go to a producer. But where do you see it panning out?
I mean, at the moment we've got Spotify, which it seems to be the fairest to me. It's a streaming website that's taken off. It looks like it's going to overtake iTunes in a few years, and it's really cool. Money goes into the artist's pocket, and you can stream anything. At the end of the day, we're not going to be the ones complaining about not getting enough money. It's blah blah blah. We're not that cynical, I suppose, about the industry. And we've grown up in this industry, as opposed to growing up as Metallica and then turning around and blaming
the world changing.
And saying, "Oh God, my 07 Jaguar is old. It's the old model now." Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, any money is. We make from this is a bonus. I mean, it's all about.
This is still your 9-to-5. Like, this is still. So you gotta get a living out of this.
Yeah, I think. I mean, we've talked about this so much. I mean, especially since you do kind of start realizing that this is the thing that you're hoping to make money from, that we kind of start like have like really quite casual chats about it. And I think what we usually come out with is that if I downloaded a, and we've all, anyone who says they haven't downloaded something illegally is lying, and I don't give a shit, and that's why I don't accept this kind of moral high ground thing that people take. While I do actually, that's why I think Spotify is such a good idea, is because it actually is a way of taking something for free without owning it for free and without, you know, pissing anyone else off, kind of thing. And I think if someone downloads our album and likes it, they might come to a gig and they might buy a t-shirt and they might do that, and that's where we might that's where we might get money, and that's where we might like earn money from them downloading something illegally. And someone might listen to it and not like it and know that. So I mean, that's fine. And when we released our album first, we put it online streaming for free for a week, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that was our way of saying we just want people to hear the music. We don't like, we're not going to make our fortune off, probably going to make a fortune, but I mean, we're not going to make our living off
record sales alone.
So that's why I don't really mind. If they like it when they download it, then I don't really care.
Plus I watch internet TV every day, so I'll be a hypocrite.
Yeah. Cool. So yeah, free culture in general, you can see it going further than it currently is.
I think it has to. I don't see a way of stopping it. I really don't.
And then do you see a market in the future for the likes of the Universals and the EMIs?
No.
Not the way it's going, no. Not right now, and especially with the way Spotify is kind of setting a trend and stuff.
You look at big bands at the moment, they're just big bands and big record labels. I mean, it's very temperamental. One album, maybe. Mm. Even if they're doing significantly well, they're going to fall somewhere. It's a waste of time. Big labels are going to fall. It's all about indies at this stage.
So then, where do you guys actually sum up the money to pay a producer to pay for recording studio time?
Well, I think it's because we were really lucky, I think, in the label with Model Citizen, which is like a totally independent label. We're the first band on the label. Mm-hmm. I think the best part is that we have a like very personal relationship with them. So we kind of, we can all see very clearly where it's going to come from, where it's going to go. I mean, we're not going to, I'm sure like from their point of view, they'd rather make sure we make a good album with better potential for making the money back than give us pittance to make a crap album. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, I think we have been really lucky, and there's never any, well, there probably is a lot of under the table stuff, but never like nothing that like we'd ever be worrying about, you know. I think we have a very honest relationship with them.
Brilliant. So where's the future going for you guys? What's the future hold beyond your album and your gigs in the next few months?
That's pretty much it now. It's so hard to if you'd said 2 years ago where are you going to be in 2 years, I certainly wouldn't have said where we are now, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And I mean that in a good way. I'm really, really happy with how things have been going. I think we've been so excited this week writing and stuff, you know, that I think we just kind of want to
get working on another album as soon as possible.
Yeah, make sure next week's gigs go well, and then next week we'll worry about the ones after that, kind of thing, you know, because I think if you look at it as a bigger picture, you really will just melt down and freak out. So
sure, so you've no aims and targets and ambitions beyond.
I'd be happy with that.
No, we certainly do, yeah. If we can keep doing this and then someday be able to live off it, then that'd be
nice.
Brilliant.
We'd love a lot of strippers as well.
There's loads of strippers next door as well.
Yeah, there's loads of strippers next door as well.
So you personally would like strippers in the band?
I think we'd all
like a few strippers.
Yeah, nice ones, they're not.
Not skanky ones.
No.
I mean, by default, they probably will be, but you know, alright. Like,
yeah, but you can see a bit of potential for a nice person. A good heart.
Yeah, you could work on them, you know, take them out of that grotty lifestyle. And
save them,
yeah. Be a saver.
Like in Pretty Woman.
Yeah, and the West Wing.
Oh, yeah.
It's a strip in the West Wing.
She's a high-class escort.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
They deal with all sorts in that. All sorts.
Very good. Cool. Well, great to chat to you guys.
Thank you very
you too,
much.
Anything
very
else
much.
To say to fans or potential future fans?
Where are you guys in UL?
Yes.
Well, we are dying to go back to Limerick. Yeah. Where we played the... What was the Limerick Arts College...
Limerick School of Art and Design.
Yeah, in Dolan's.
Right, recently.
Yes, Dolan's is a great spot.
It was amazing. That was such a fun gig. Yeah, we can't wait to come back, really. Love Limerick.
Brilliant, yeah. Looking forward to you guys again. You were playing, was that the night that you... Was that someone else? You weren't playing with Crystal Castles, no?
No.
No, that was another match. You were on about the same time in Limerick.
Okay.
It's all a blur.
yeah.
Cool, good luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
To you again. Cheers.
Thank you too.